السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته يا شيخنا.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، in continuation of our book Al-Adab Al-Mufrad by Al-Imam Al-Bukhari rahimahullah, we are still on the matters on connecting the ties of kingship, connecting family ties. Inshallah, today we'll be starting from Babu Silati Rahimi Tazidu Fil Umur. Babu Silati Rahimi Tazidu Fil Umur. The chapter regarding the fact that connecting family ties elongates the lifespan. Connecting family ties, it elongates the family, it elongates the life of the individual by Allah's will. Babu Silati Rahimi Tazidu Fil Umr. Maintaining the ties of kingship will be or is a means by which Allah prolongs the life of an individual. And that is coming after a general mention of the virtues of connecting family ties in the preceding chapter. The preceding chapter was about the general virtues of connecting family ties. But this chapter is taken out to show the importance of and the connection between connecting family ties and the prolongation of the life of the individual who does so bi-ithnillah. In it, Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, Rahimahullah, حدثنا عبد الله ابن صالح قال حدثنا الليث قال حدثني عقيل عن ابن شهاب قال أخبرني أنس بن مالك أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم قال من أحب أن يبسط له في رزقه وأن ينسأ له في أثره فليصل رحمه. من أحب أن يبسط له في رزقه وأن ينسأ له في أثره فليصل رحمه. الإمام البخاري said حدثنا عبد الله بن صالح. We had read a number of ahadith that the Imam collected from his Sheikh Abdullah ibn Salih. He is popularly referred to as Katib al-Layth. Abdullah ibn Salih, Katib al-Layth. We had discussed a few issues regarding him. Abdullah ibn Salih, Katib al-Layth, is the Sheikh of Al-Imam al-Bukhari in this hadith. And he has reported this from his Sheikh and his teacher, Al-Imam al-Layth. So he said, حدثني al-Layth. Al-Layth here is Al-Imam al-Layth ibn Sa'd al-Misri, rahimahullah, one of the biggest scholars in Islam. He said, حدثني عقيل. Al-Imam al-Layth is reporting from his teacher, عقيل ibn Khalid Abu Khalid al-Umawi. عقيل ابن خالد أبو خالد الأموي رحمه الله عن ابن شهاب. الإمام ابن شهاب in this hadith is محمد ابن مسلم ابن شهاب ابن الزهري. محمد ابن مسلم ابن شهاب ابن الزهري. He said أخبرني أنس ابن مالك. It means the تابعي of this hadith is الإمام الزهري رحمه الله. Muhammad ibn Muslim ibn Shihab al-Zuhri, he is the tabi'i of this hadith. He said, أخبرني Anas. Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu has reported this hadith to me. I like to quickly draw our attention to two major issues as we start to read this hadith. We had mentioned from the very beginning of this book. The first hadith in this book is the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. And we followed with the hadith of Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As. We have also read hadith of Muawiyah ibn Haida. We have read hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas repeatedly. We have read a hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma repeatedly. We have also read the hadith of Anas ibn Malik repeatedly. Likewise, we read one or two hadiths from Ali ibn Abi Talib. These are the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam wa radiyallahu anhu. They are our salaf. They are our pious predecessors that we desire and struggle to be upon their path, ibnillah. It is not befitting for us not to have read about them. Each time we read a hadith that a companion has mentioned, we had read hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu and his relationship with his mother. We should try to read more about these companions. By now, we should have read about the likes of Ibn Abbas, the likes of Ibn Umar, the likes of Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, the likes of Aisha radiallahu anha, our mother. There shouldn't be any one of us listening to these classes who would not have appropriately read about the companions radiallahu anhum, because the meaning of being a Salafi is that you want to have your iman, your belief, your aqidah to be like their own. You want to have your ibadah to be like their own. You want to have your muamala, your dealings with people to be like their own. You want to have their tijara to be like their own. You want to have your manners and your attitude to people and to things, your thoughts about life. You want it to be like their own because Allah has affirmed that He is pleased with them. And Allah told us all from various verses in the Quran that if we want us to be pleased with, if we want Him to be pleased with us, and that when we want to be pleased with Him, we have to follow the way of these companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. When in Surah At-Tawbah, he tells us that as-sabiquna al-awwalun min al-muhajirin wal-ansar wal-lazina attaba'uhum bi-ihsan radiyallahu anhum waradu an. He's talking about the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It will be from the most inappropriate thing for a person who seeks to be upon the path of these people not to now know about these people. If you want to appropriately be upon their path, one of the things you need to do as a Muslim, as a person from Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, as a Salafi who ascribes to the Salaf, is that we should know about the Salaf. And the heads of the Salaf are the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Similarly, we have also mentioned a number of the Tabi'un. We mentioned Abu ibn Yasar, Sulaiman ibn Yasar, Abdullah ibn Yasar, Muhammad ibn Sirin. We had mentioned a number of the Tabi'un, rahimahumullah, from whom, who were those who reported Islam, from the companions who were upon the path of the companions. It is also necessary for us to read about them. Likewise, the scholars who came, who received this knowledge of our religion from the students of the companions and downwards, we'd mention the likes of Al-Imam Malik repeatedly. We'd mention the people like Shu'bah ibn al-Hajjaj repeatedly. We had mentioned Sufyan ibn Uyayna repeatedly. We have mentioned Sufyan al-Thawri repeatedly, and very many others, Hammad ibn Salama, Hammad ibn Zayd. These are our Salaf. It behoves us, we have a duty, brothers, sisters, young ones, women, children. We all have a duty to read about these people, because when you read about the people, that is when you know how they have lived. And you are going to find a congruence in the life of the entirety of these people. The companions, the Tabi'un and their students and those in the coming generations after them, we are going to see a line of congruence that they have lived. That line is the line that is referred to as Salafiyah, that we want to live upon and that we struggle to live upon. It will be inappropriate for us not to read and learn about these people. So I like to adjust one of the best resource materials that will be useful for us in this venture of knowing about the companions and their students and those who came after them is the book by Al-Imam al-Zahabi, Siyaru A'la min Nubala. There is no one who should say he's talibul ilm and is able to read Arabic who should not have this book, Siyaru A'la min Nubala. Because in Siyaru A'la min Nubala, you find the opportunity to read about our pious predecessors. I want to explain Islam upon the way of the pious predecessors. I want to practice Islam upon the way of the pious predecessors. The man is miskin. He does not know anything about the pious predecessors. It is very, very important for us to know about them, how they lived, how they related with their families, what were their aqaid, their belief regarding Allah, and very many other things. Being upon the path of the Salaf is not restricted to knowing the Aqidah of the Salaf alone. It is not restricted to knowing the Ibadah of the Salaf alone. It involves knowing about the way of the Salaf, rahimahumullah, in the entirety of the religion. I beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us. Today we have mentioned Al-Imam al-Layth ibn Sa'd. He is someone that we should know about, rahimahullah. He is from amongst the teachers of Al-Imam al-Shafi'i, and he also counts from amongst those from whom Al-Imam Malik benefited knowledge, although from amongst his peers, but Al-Imam Malik took a lot of knowledge from Al-Layth ibn Sa'd. These kinds of people are those we should know about. When we know about a person, Allah uses it as a means to ingrain the love for that person or for those people in our hearts. But you see, that's why in our modern day life, people celebrate people over the social media. When they do this and they show us models, they tell us this is a model, the press goes on to celebrate and present people, non-Muslims, kuffar, people who have doubtful lives, people who publicly show lives of disobedience to Allah, because they want the love of these people to be ingrained in the minds of those who read these stories about them. The opposite is what we have to do. We have to read about the pious so that it ingrains the love of these people in our hearts. I beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this duty, this activity, one that is easy for us and one that he will accept from us as from the acts of worship, knowing about the early Muslims, so that we love them and we find it easy, inshallah, to follow their ways. This hadith has been reported from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam by the eminent companion Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu. He was a companion whose mother had taken him to the Prophet from a very, very tender age of 10, and he lived with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, serving him and providing his needs and going around the errands of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam for about a period of 9.5 to 10 years that the Prophet served, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lived in Medina. So much that he has a laqab, Khadimur Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. Anas ibn Malik, he has a laqab, Khadimur Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, even though his mother will refer to him as Khuwaydim, the young servant of the Prophet Muhammad. We shall come back to those ahadith in this book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad, inshallah. He said, Anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qala, Anas ibn Malik said, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man ahabba an yubsata lahu fi rizqihi wa an yunsa'a lahu fi atharihi fal yasil rahimahu. من أحب أن يبسط له في رزقه وأن ينسأ له في أثره فليصل رحمه. من أحب, whoever likes, whoever loves that, أن يبسط له في رزقه, يعني أن يوسع له في رزقه, whoever desires that, أن يبسط له في رزقه, that his wealth should be expanded. وأن يبارك له في رزقه, that his wealth should be blessed. If you have some wealth, the rich person, or you have any form of wealth, because it is not limited to any amount of wealth. Whatever you have, whatever Allah has blessed you, is the wealth that Allah has placed you in charge. Allah has placed that wealth under you. If you want that wealth and you suffer to be increased, to be blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَنْ يُنْسَأَ لَهُ فِي أَثَرِهِ. Who else, whoever also likes that, أَنْ يُؤَخَّرَ لَهُ فِي أَثَرِهِ, whoever likes that his ajal. Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi said, al-Athar, the Athar in this hadith is ajaluhu, our lifespan. وَأَنْ يُنْسَأَ لَهُ فِي رِزْقِهِ, whoever also desires that, يُنْسَأَ لَهُ فِي أَثَرِهِ, that his life span should be prolonged. Whoever likes that his wealth is expanded and blessed. Whoever likes that his lifespan is prolonged by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَلْيَصِلْ رَحِيمَهُ, let him therefore connect his family ties. مَنْ أَحَبَّ أَنْ يُبْسَطَ لَهُ فِي رِزْقِهِ, whoever desires that his rizq, his wealth, his possessions are blessed and expanded by Allah. وَأَنْ يُنْسَأَ لَهُ فِي أَثَرِهِ, and that his life is expanded, his lifespan, the time that he spends on the earth, is prolonged by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَلْيَصِلْ رَحِيمَهُ, let him therefore connect family ties. So two benefits in this hadith for those who connect family ties and pay attention to their kith and kin. Those who prevent their kith and kin from evil and tries their utmost to be sure that their kith and kin are upon goodness, they have two benefits as is stated in this hadith. The first benefit is that يُبْسَطَ لَهُ فِي رِزْقِهِ, that wealth that he spends on them, he should not think that the wealth has gone away. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam had told us in many other ahadith that مَا نَقَصَ رِزْقٌ مِنْ صَدَقَةٍ, that there is no wealth that reduces as a result of sadaqah. When a person gives sadaqah, he should not think that that sadaqah will reduce his wealth. That is from one angle. But from the angle that Allah will expand the wealth of that individual is what this hadith is talking about. So if you spend 1 million naira upon your family, Allah will expand your wealth. Whatever you spend, وَمَا تُنْفِقُ, whatever you spend, مِنْ خَيْرٍ, from goodness. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ بِهِ عَلِيمٌ, Allah is certainly aware of them. This is what he is talking about. يُبْسَطَ لَكَ فِي رِزْقِكَ, your wealth, your possessions will be blessed by Allah and they will be expanded. How about those who refuse to spend regarding their kith and kin, thinking that when they spend, the wealth will reduce? This is a misunderstanding that they have, because wealth is actually increased and blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Spending regarding the family, kith and kin, does not reduce the wealth. We have known from this hadith that it is rather a means of expanding our wealth. So if you want your wealth to expand, spend upon your family, your younger brothers, your fathers, your mothers, your aunts, your relatives. Spend upon them if you want Allah to increase your wealth. This is a guarantee from Rabbul Alameen. Many of us, when we are assured by human beings, if a millionaire assures you that I will buy you, let's say, a car, many times we place our reliance on him. We say he has the ability and he's usually truthful to his promises. If a millionaire says, oh, I'll build you a house, if he says, oh, I'll send you abroad, I'll send you on a trip to Hajj, many of the people will make sajda to shukr because of two things. When they trust those who make those commitments to them, when they trust them, and they think that he is capable of doing so. So in this case, don't we all think that Allah is capable of expanding our wealth when we spend towards our kit and kin? We should, definitely. We know that Allah is ever capable because He is Al-Ghani, He is Al-Razzaq, He is all wealthy, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He is the one who bestows wealth upon the people. All those who have the wealth today, they have been given this wealth by Allah. This is the same Allah that guarantees us from His Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, that when we spend regarding our families, He will expand our wealth. So it behoves us, we have a duty to spend upon our family, hoping that Allah will bless our wealth and expand our wealth. That is a trade that we have been invited onto, a trade that does not involve any form of loss for the one who has invested in them. Your kith and kin, your family, your relatives, your brothers, your sisters, your aunts, your uncles, your fathers, don't forget them in all that you enjoy of comfort, no matter how small, in all that you enjoy of luxury. Don't forget that these people have a right over you. It's not an issue of a privilege. It's a right they have. And this is a right that when you discharge, Allah accepts it. He will expand your wealth and bless your wealth. May Allah make us people with blessed wealth. The second point of benefit in this hadith is that yunsa'alahu fi atharihi, the life of the individual will be prolonged. You live long. And we have seen this in true life. Usually those who connect family ties, they usually live long. So what does it mean to live long? What does it mean to say someone, yunsa'alahu fi atharihi, his life will be prolonged? Some of the scholars say what it means is that what the rest of the people spend 10 years to do, this individual will do it within 1 year. So it would be like that. He has combined other years to his life. What people achieve in 10 years, he will achieve it in 1 year. Look at the likes of, even in our times, someone like Sheikh Muhammad ibn Adam, al-Ethiopi, rahimahullahu now. The works that he has left behind are works that will take some people 30 years to compile. He has a work on Sahih Muslim, Al-Bahru al-Muhit al-Sajjaj, which is the Sheikh of Sahih Muslim. This work occurs in 45 volumes, apart from the two Muqaddima in two volumes. This kind of a work, if you want to have someone to do a PhD on it, it will be a number of people who will be working on a PhD to release a book of 45 volumes. The biggest of the works on PhD you'll have are works on two volumes. Two volumes will be about 1,200 pages. This will just make just 1.5 volumes, because in his work, some of the works reach up to 800 to 900 pages. So it means a work of 45 volumes that this sheikh has done may take a number of years. We know people run a PhD course for up to 3 to 4 years. If it is very, very fast, they can run a PhD course for 3 years. For 4 years. It means if you now say about 10 to 15 PhDs will be produced from his own work of 45 volumes, it will be as if his life was prolonged, because it means you'll be considering 3 years times 15 PhDs who will issue this kind of a job. So some of the scholars say, and yunsa'alahu fi atharihi, means that he will be able to do things that people do in longer years. That is the meaning of his life being prolonged. Some of the scholars say the meaning of ayyunsa'alahu fi atharihi is that the lifespan that Allah had given in the hands of the angels will be increased by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, depending on what is in Allah al-Mahfuz. Because in Allah al-Mahfuz, the written record of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is preserved, Allah had known that from His ultimate knowledge subhanahu wa ta'ala, an absolute knowledge of all the events that will occur before those events occur. subhanahu wa ta'ala that is with him. Allah knows that Allah knew that he was going to increase in his good dealings with his kitan king, and that his lifespan will be increased. So that itself is documented that this man will carry out a means by which his lifespan will be increased. So that this hadith actually means yunsa alahu fi asarihi, yani yuakharu lahu fi hayatihi. His life will be expanded. That is what it actually means. But by the record in the hands of the angels. Maybe the record in the hand of the angel is that he will spend 20 years. And then this man begins to connect family ties, as Allah had known that he will connect family ties. Then Allah informs the angel, increase his life. Because he had known that this man will do that. So his life will be increased. With meaning that it is the records with the angels that will be increased. This is one meaning of this hadith according to some of the scholars. Others even say that no, ayunsa alahu fi asarihi, that his lifespan will be increased. Actually, it means that he will be just like our arzak, our wealth. The wealth had already been documented. You don't forget the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. فَيُرْسَلُ عَلَيْهِ الْمَلَكُ فَيَنْفُخُ فِيهِ الرُّوحُ وَيُؤْمَرُ بِأَرْبَعِ كَلِمَاتٍ بِكَتْبِ رِزْقِهِ وَأَجَلِهِ وَعَمَلِهِ وَشَقِيٌّ أَوْ سَعِيدٌ. Yes, this individual, we all struggle for wealth. We struggle to make sure that 1 naira becomes 10 naira tomorrow. The fact that our risk has been documented does not stop us from making good efforts. So the same thing, the fact that our lifespan has been documented does not mean that we should not follow the means that are clear-cut in the Sharia, that when we do, our lifespan will be increased. And one of them is connecting family ties. The Sharia is clear. Even the Ziyadatul Iman. Allah knows those whose Iman will rise and those whose Iman will not rise, as the case may be. Yet we know that when the individual does good deeds, his Iman will rise. And when he commits sin, his Iman will come down. That is Iman, Ziyadatul Iman comes with power. And Naqsanul Iman comes with what? Al-Ma'siyah. We know this. So it means there is some sort of a struggle that brings about increase or reduce in faith. Likewise, there are good deeds that the Sharia has mentioned that by which Allah increases the life of an individual. And one of them is Silatul Rahim. There are others that have been mentioned in other ahadith, like Husnul Khulq. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us in an authentic hadith that Husnul Khulq, being of a nice character, also increases the lifespan of an individual. Likewise, Husnul Jiwar, being nice to someone who is our neighbor, also increases the lifespan. We'll come back to the issues of the neighbor in fuller details, inshallah, in our subsequent readings. So what this hadith means is that the individual's life will actually increase. Why? Because he does something by which anyone who does it, Allah increases his life. Allah increases his lifespan. Just like he does something that by which Allah increases the Iman of an individual, even though the level of the Iman of that individual is known absolutely with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there's no difference between saying that our lifespan has been determined and the fact that if we are of those who connect family ties, Allah will increase our lifespan. Just the same way, our risk is determined, yet if we increase, make good efforts, Allah still provides us more risk than we have. The same thing, Iman, when you make good efforts, Allah increases your Iman. But all of these increments, let's not forget, they're already known and documented in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then in his book, it is documented in them. So this hadith, the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man ahabba an yubsata lahu fi rizqihi, whoever likes that his wealth is expanded and blessed, wa an yunsa'a lahu fi athari, whoever likes that his life is prolonged, falyasil rahimahu, let him therefore connect his family ties. He did not say, as people do, some people want their life to be prolonged. They start running after sorcerers. They start running after peoples of magic. They start running after the Sahara, people of sorcery and magic, trying to seek prolongation of life from those people. And that is not from what a human being can grant another human being. If one human being goes to another human being asking for his life to be prolonged, that is from the aspects of kufur. So he will be committing kufur from two aspects. Kufur from the aspect of going to a sahir, making him commit acts of shirk to be able to get him his life prolonged as they claim, which is falsehood. And then the person will be asking from a human being what is not in the capacity of a human being to grant to another human being. So this is from the aspects of kufur. But here we are, Allah has made us understand from this hadith of his messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, that when we connect family ties, our life is prolonged. Anyone who wants his life to be prolonged, let him connect the ties of kinship. So this is what we have gained from this hadith. Likewise, anyone who wants his wealth to be expanded, let him connect his ties of kinship. That hadith is from the hadith of Anas ibn Malik. A hadith that follows it is a hadith in the same meaning. It's a hadith in the same meaning. But it has been reported from Abu Huraira, radiallahu anhu. It was reported from Abu Huraira by one of the scholars of hadith, who also reports a lot of hadith from Abu Huraira, Sa'id ibn Abi Sa'id al-Maqburi. Sa'id ibn Abi Sa'id al-Maqburi is from amongst the Muqsirun from Abu Huraira, radiallahu anhu. I hope that we go back and read about him. Al-Imam Sa'id ibn Abi Sa'id al-Maqburi, rahimahullah. He has reported from Abu Huraira, who said, Sami'tu Rasulallah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam yaqul. I heard the Prophet Muhammad, the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. I heard him say that, Man sarrahu an yusaf lahu fi rizqihi, wa an yusa'a lahu fi atharihi, falyasil rahimahu. Man sarrahu an yusaf lahu fi rizqihi, wa an yusa'a lahu fi atharihi. فَلْيَصِلْ رَحْكِمَهُ مَنْ سَرَّهُ. Whoever will be delighted. The fourth hadith, whoever will love to have that. In this second expression of this hadith, it says, مَنْ سَرَّهُ. Whoever will be gladdened, whoever will be happy, and يُبْسَطَ لَهُ فِي رِزْكِهِ. To have his world expanded. We all know by natural instinct that all of us will be happy that our wealth is expanded and that our lifespan is expanded. So it means the Prophet gave these expressions by way of encouraging us to be upon this path, because it is something everybody will like. It's like saying, who likes that he is giving 1 million, for example? I'm just giving an example. Everybody says, oh, I want. Even the rich person wants 1 million. So this is a way of making us desire to connect family ties. Whoever likes that his wealth is expanded and that his lifespan is increased, let him connect his family ties. I like to mention one point of benefit in this hadith. This hadith has come with almost the same expression in the two hadiths, from the hadith of Anas ibn Malik, from the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, with two different chains. Let us consider a situation where, apart from Al-Imam al-Zuhri, about 10 others amongst the Tabi'un heard this hadith from Anas ibn Malik. 10. And from each of those 10, 5 others have heard the hadith from them. And from each of those 5, 6 others have heard the hadith from each of them, until it got to the likes of Al-Imam al-Bukhari. You will see that from Anas ibn Malik alone, this hadith will have about 50 to 60 chains of narrations up to Al-Imam al-Bukhari alone. If they went to a particular city, one of the scholars of that city would have heard that hadith from his own sheikh. That one would have heard from his own sheikh, who had heard from Abu Huraira radiallahu. So the isnad of the hadith continues to expand. So one single hadith, man ahabba an yusata lahu, this hadith that we have read, it could have up to 60 asanid, 60 different chains of reports. to Anas ibn Malik from Al-Imam al-Bukhari alone. Between Al-Imam al-Bukhari alone and Anas ibn Malik, there may be 60 different routes by which that hadith got to Al-Imam al-Bukhari. Now the same hadith from Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. Imagine that 10 people heard this hadith from Abu Huraira. From each of these 10, 5 people heard, even though what was common is that from 10, more than 10 will hear, because Islam expanded, more people listened to narrations and reported knowledge in the subsequent generations. So if you take it to be 10 people heard from Abu Huraira, for example, when he taught this hadith, I heard the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say, "Man sarrahu an yufsakha lahu," he reads the hadith. These 10 go back to teach another 10. These 10 go back to teach from each of them another 10. You will not be surprised that this hadith might get to Al-Imam al-Bukhari from 100 chains of reports. So you find two hadiths from two different companions coming to Al-Imam al-Bukhari through about 200 routes, 200 chains of ahadith. So if you hear that they say Al-Imam al-Bukhari has asanid ahadith up to 200,000 hadiths, this is how it comes. Consider this with every single hadith that comes from different routes. He gets all the different routes, and then he's going to report that hadith, especially in his Sahih al-Bukhari, in his Sahih, with the best of all these routes. So you know the kinds of things that these scholars went through to select the best. He will take from the best of the students of Abu Huraira. He will take from that student who reported that hadith, from the best of them, for every hadith, as much as the chain of that hadith or those ahadith would be. You see this hadith now, it has come from the Prophet through Anas radiallahu anhu. It has also come from him, alayhi salatu wasalam, through who? Abu Huraira. Now, these two chains from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could get to Bukhari 100 from here, 100 from there. So sometimes the orientalists and people with weak faith and little knowledge, they make a mockery of the people of hadith. They will say Bukhari has 600,000 hadiths. They are surprised. Are all the ahadiths in the world up to 600,000? They do not understand that for each of this chain, it is referred to as a single hadith. For each of the chain, it is referred to as a single hadith. So for people who have a knowledge of it, it will not be a strange thing, because they know that this is how that knowledge has been passed down from one generation to the other. So it will not be surprising to say if we have 7,000 hadiths in Sahih al-Bukhari, those 7,000 ahadiths have been picked from over 500 or 600,000 ahadiths that has come to Al-Imam al-Bukhari. We will know how that has come about. How come we have 600,000 hadiths? This is how it has come about. I just felt to point to this because it is one example of one single hadith that has emerged from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam through different sources. Now imagine that 10 companions report this hadith from the Prophet. And from each of these 10 reports, 10 reports. You see, we'll be going to factorials of 10 and so on. Imagine a hadith that 25 companions report from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Imagine that from these 25, 20 reports from each of them. You see, we're going to 20 factorial at the end of the day. So by the time the hadith that has been reported by 25 companions come to the likes of Al-Imam al-Bukhari, you'll be having that hadith become 1,500 or 2,000 or 5,000, as the case may be, depending on the number of those who have variously reported this hadith. I'm mentioning this because those people, orientalists, the enemies of Islam who have learned Islam and are teaching Muslims Islam, or some Muslims with weak faith, or some Muslims with little knowledge, when they say Bukhari reported 600,000 hadiths, they think that it's a ruse. It is because of their little knowledge or faith that makes them say so. We would have understood from this now that it is very, very possible, and more of that could have been possible. People like Al-Imam Abu Zura al-Razi memorized ahadith with various chains up to 1 million. Up to 1 million. Okay, take Musnad Imam Ahmad. Musnad Imam Ahmad has 30,000 hadiths. So if 30,000 hadiths will emerge from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how many chains of reports will it have? So you can see now. So this is how, when they say he has 1 million hadiths, this is what they mean. When they say he has 500,000 hadiths, this is what they mean. May Allah protect us and protect our faith. This chapter, Babu Silat al-Rahim tazidu fil Ummah, I hope that it is clear. The chapter regarding the fact that connecting family ties increases the lifespan of an individual. That is Hadith number 56 and Hadith number 57. Inshallah, we'll move to the next Bab. Babu man wasala rahimahu ahabbahu ahluhu. Man wasala rahimahu ahabbahu ahluhu. The chapter regarding the fact that whoever connects family ties, ahabbahu ahluhu, his family, his kith and kin would love him. One of the benefits of connecting family ties is that the kith and kin of that individual will love him. This is the basic rule. Why? Because the Arabs would say, jubilatin nafs an tuhabbiba man uhsina ilayha. The human soul is created to love whoever is nice to her, whoever is nice to the human being, to the human, to the humankind. We tend to love them when a person is nice to us. This is the asal regarding the human beings. So if you are nice to your kid and kin, one way or the other, they will love you. If for whatever reason they become spiteful, they become hateful, they become uncouth, we have learned how to handle those kind of people from the hadith that we have read in the previous pages, that their behavior should not stop us from being nice and kind to them. This hadith, Al-Imam al-Bukhari has reported it from his Sheikh Muhammad ibn Kafir Abu Abdullah, who said, Akhbarana Sufyan, that is Al-Imam Sufyan al-Thawri, and Abi Ishaq, that is Al-Imam Abu Ishaq al-Sabiri, Amr ibn Abdullah al-Sabiri. Abu Ishaq al-Sabiri is another person we should read about, because he has reported a lot of hadiths. He is from amongst the Muqfirun, and he was a tabi'i. Some of the scholars say that he has reported hadith and knowledge from over 30 companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abu Ishaq al-Sabiri. And he has a son, Yunus ibn Abi Ishaq al-Sabiri. He was also a learned scholar of hadith. This Yunus also has a son, Israel ibn Yunus ibn Abi Ishaq al-Sabiri. So himself, his son, his grandchild, they were all from amongst the scholars of hadith. They also have from amongst the Isa. They were all learned people. We need to read about Abu Ishaq al-Sabiri and his children, Yunus and Israel and the rest of them, because you regularly find them in isnad of hadith. So when you know about them, you know what to do when you find their hadith, when you find them in a chain of report of a hadith. He has reported this hadith from Magra. Magra is Abul Mukhariq al-Abdi, as we shall see in the next report, who has reported this hadith from Abdullah ibn Umar. This is from the report of Al-Imam al-Bukhari in Al-Adab al-Mufrad. This hadith is from the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhu. Qala, that Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhu said, man ittaqa rabbahu wa wasala rahimahu nussi'a fi ajalihi wa fara'a maluhu وأحبه أهله من اتقى ربه ووصل رحمه نسئ في أجله وفرع ماله وأحبه أهله. عبد الله بن عمر said رضي الله عنهما, من اتقى ربه, whoever is consciously fearful of his Lord سبحانه وتعالى, whoever is consciously fearful of Allah. And being consciously fearful of Allah is to maintain the limits of Allah, fulfill the obligations of Allah upon you, and abstain from those things that Allah has commanded you to abstain from. This is the first level of taqwa. The first level of taqwa is that all the commands of Allah are things that you fulfill, and all the prohibitions of Allah are things that you move away from. You move away from the things that He has prohibited you, and you fulfill the commands, all of us, according to ability, when you fulfill the commands. So this is the first level of taqwa. The second level of taqwa is that you stick to those good deeds that we have been encouraged to do by way of improving upon the commandments. Because the nawafil increase the value of the obligatory deeds. The nawafil increase the value, the rewards, and the status and rank of our obligatory deeds. So man ittaqa rabbahu. It would mean that connecting family ties is part of taqwa. But still, he still mentions it and separates it. Wa wasala rahimahu. By way of making us pay attention to the fact that, yes, it is part of taqwa to connect family ties. But we want to bring this out of the generality of saying that family ties is connected. So we must connect family ties. It is from the right of our kith and kin that we all connect them. So he says, Man ittaqa rabbahu, whoever fears his Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa wasala rahimahu, and connects his family ties. Nussi'a fi ajalihi, just like the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nussi'a fi ajalihi, his lifespan will be prolonged. His lifespan will certainly be prolonged by Allah's will. Wasara maluhu, and his wealth will expand. His wealth will multiply and become blessed. Sara maluhu, his wealth will multiply. His wealth will be blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We had read these two things in the previous hadith of Anas and the hadith of Abu Huraira in the previous chapter. The new thing in this hadith regarding connecting family ties that we had not read before was that wa ahabbahu ahluhu. From the things that Allah will do to this individual is that he will place the love of him in the hearts of his family members. Allah will place the love of you in the hearts of your family members. When you help them, when you support them, when you protect them, when you make yourself available to them, when you spend on them, Allah will turn their hearts to love you, because Allah will love you. And when Allah loves a servant, as the Prophet told us in a hadith, that when Allah loves a servant, he calls Jibril and tells Jibril, Jibril, I have loved this servant. The angels of Allah, Jibril, calls them and tells them that Allah has loved so-so and so servant. And then the angels announce the love of this individual to the people of the earth and places the love of that individual in the minds of the people on the earth. So when people love you, it is one of the reasons, it is one of the proofs, bi'izni Allah, that Allah loves you, especially if you are a person of goodness. We will understand truly that it is not from istidraj. If people love you truly, will understand, and you are upon true piety and righteousness, bi'iznillah, it is from the evidences that Allah loves you. Allah grants the love of the pious people in the minds of the people of the earth. Look at Abu Bakr Siddiq, radiallahu anhu. Look at how much he is loved by the Muslims. So that is gained when the servant is obedient to Allah. And one of the biggest ways to obey Allah is to do what? To connect family. Now, the immediate benefactors of your connecting family ties are your family members. So when you connect them, Allah makes them to love you. When you connect your family ties, Allah makes them to love you. So he says, radiyallahu anhumah, man istaqa rabbahu, whoever fears his Lord, wasala rahimahu, connects his ties of kinship, nussi'a fi ajalihi, his life will be prolonged. Wasara maluhu, his wealth will be expanded and blessed. Wa ahabbahu ahluhu, his family will now love him. His kith and kin will also love him. We beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us. The second hadith, hadith number 59, under this chapter heading, also has the same wording and meaning with the first hadith that we have read under this chapter. Hadith number 59 and 58, they have the same expressions. That man ittaqa rabbahu wa wasala rahimahu unsi'a lahu fi umrihi. In the first wording, it said nussi'a lahu fi umrihi. In the second second wording it says, "Unsi Allahu fi umurihi." One of the things Al Imam Al Bukhari also did by citing this same hadith with the same wording, the same way from Ibn Umar, is that it has come to him from two different routes. So he wants to tell us that, oh, I have, this hadith has reached me from two different sources. The sources may be more than two, but these two are sound. Have them both. So he starts with those ahadith in this book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad. That's why we've had to mention today that ahadith gets to the scholars who record them from different routes. The routes may be as large as we had explained in the previous chapter. This hadith of Ibn Umar has also been reported by Abu Huraira as an expression from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because the Prophet said, فَإِنَّ صِلَةَ الرَّحِمِ مَحَبَّةً فِي الْأَهْلِ. Because صِلَةُ الرَّحِمِ, connecting family ties, مَحَبَّةٌ فِي الْأَهْلِ, فَإِنَّ صِلَةَ الرَّحِمِ مَحَبَّةٌ فِي الْأَهْلِ. Connecting family ties is love by the family, by kith and kin. And it makes those who connect the family ties to be loved. This is directly from the statement of the Prophet ﷺ. So we know that what Abu Abdul Rahman, Abdullah ibn Umar has told us here is not from himself. He has results of things that he had heard from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from amongst the people who connect family ties. These two chapters, inshallah, tomorrow we get into another chapter, Babu Birri al-Aqrabi fal-Aqrab. Babu Birri al-Aqrabi fal-Aqrab. After connecting family ties, the next group of ahadith would be about our duties towards our children. Our duties towards our children will be the next group of ahadith after these groups of ahadith about connecting in our family ties. I think we can stop here today, inshallah, so that we take a few questions before we call it a day. Abu Yusuf.
Jazakum Allah khairan, ya Sheikh Umar. Ahsanu
alaykum.
This question says, please kindly ask Sheikh to recommend an English fashion book about the companions for we that can't read Arabic.
Well, I know men around the messenger. There is men around the men and women around the messenger. It was published by Darussalam, and the book was translated by one of our brothers, Brother Abu Juwairiya Suleiman Fulani. It's been over 7 to 8 years now this book has been published. It was published by Darussalam. Men and women around the messenger. Men and women around the messenger. I wouldn't remember the name of the author. It was translated by Brother Suleiman Fulani Abu Juwairiya, the Imam of the VGC Masjid, and it was published by Darussalam. I think to a very large extent, the book will be very useful. We can also get the various volumes of the book Al-Bidaya wa Nihaya. Bidaya wa Nihaya has been published by Darussalam also in about 6 volumes. Al-Bidaya wa Nihaya, it's been published, and the translation is not by that the good work for us. It will give other insights into the life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the companions, and it's one of the most reliable books about seerah generally as far as our religion. That is Al-Bidaya wa Nihaya. Al-Bidaya wa Nihaya by Al-Hafiz Ibn Kathir. I also encourage the brothers who also read in Arabic, apart from Siyaru Alamin Nubala, also we should try to get Al-Bidaya wa Nihaya. Let's not rely on electronic copies. Look for those who sell books and buy these books so that you read from the book for the sake of Allah. Please read from the book. Avoid reading from phones and all of this. Read from the books, from the book itself. So find a book. There is a tahqiq of Ayman al-Shabrawi in 18 volumes. There is also the tahqiq of Sheikh Shuaib al-Arnaout in about 25 volumes. There's also the tahqiq of Dr. Bashar Awad Ma'ruf in about 28 volumes, which is the best of all the copies. The copy of Dr. Bashar Awad Ma'ruf is the best of the copy. If you can't find that, then you can get the copy of Sheikh Shuaib al-Arnaout. If you can't find that, then you can get the copy of Muhammad Ayman al-Shabrawi. These are the three copies that I am familiar with as far as Siyaru Alam al-Nubala is concerned. Get these books, oh brothers. Pay attention to them. It will get you constructively busy. The scholars have repeatedly said that one of the ways of earning the fear of Allah is to read about the early Muslims. You see how much they were conscious of the fear of Allah. It will help you when you read about them. So it will make us pay less attention to the kinds of lame arguments and blames and abuse that has characterized the myths and brothers. We'll be busy reading about the early Muslims. It will reduce our anger regarding ourselves, and it will draw us to the lifestyle of these people when we read them more, to make us love them more. So there are a lot of advantages when we read these things. Let us try to look for the book itself, Siyaru Alam al-Nubala, and be used to reading them. Because Medina was not built in a day. If you say, oh, there is somebody, each time he talks about the early Muslims, he has something to tell you about them. That was because he's used to reading about Medina. So you should learn that habit too. May Allah make it easy for us. And may Allah make us good followers of our past predecessors. I think we can take the second question, Sean.
There's nothing left for my ship on. This one says, does cutting off family ties reduce the risk?
Yes, it may be from the consequences of disconnecting family ties that the blessings of Allah will be reduced upon the individual. It's not far-fetched at all. And it can be understood from this hadith. And there is nothing that says that we cannot get that kind of a mafhum from this hadith. That since when you connect family ties, Allah increases your wealth. There is the mafhum we can get from that is that those who disconnect family ties, their wealth will be reduced. Their wealth will be bereft of blessings. Of course, Allah has said, "Man wasallahu wasallahullah." Cool. The ties of kingship. Those who connect it, man wasallaha wasallahullah. Whoever connects ar-Rahim. That's why it says, "Man wasallaha wasallahullah." We have known that when you connect family ties, you get what you do. The same thing when you disconnect family ties, you get what you do. So if from the aspects of what we do regarding our families that you disconnect them, then if you connect them, your wealth is increased. There's no doubt that the opposite will happen to you when you also disconnect them. From what we have understood from the general meaning of connecting family ties, when you do good, you get good. You get just the like of what you do. The scholars have used the ahadith on connecting family ties to say that al-jaza'u min jins al-amal. The reward of what people get will be in the like of the deeds that they have done. May Allah protect all of us.
This one says, does keeping family ties include making them stay with you, considering that not all can stay under the same roof with my wife?
Yes, if they need it, if that is what they need. For example, we have families that will be lonely if we don't bring them under our roof. You can bring them under our roof and still we can maintain a nice place with our wives and our own children. There is nothing that prevents us from doing that while maintaining the limits of the Sharia. There is nothing that makes us to say we should not construct the house if we are building or arrange the house if we are renting in a manner that our wives and the children, the girls will be properly kept and the boys will be properly kept. And the family, two members, too, will be properly kept in their own ways, too. The scholars have said that one of the advantages when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that from the meaning of Allah's blessings, from the meaning of that an individual is successful in this dunya is that he has baytun wafir, a white house. When he has a white house, one of the reasons why he will be able to bring kings into his house. He will be able to accommodate kings and kings. So if you have a white house, accommodate your kids and kings. You will only be able to accommodate in your house as the house can contain. There are people who have built duplexes and there are just three or four in the family. In his own family, a man has a wife, he has built a seven-bedroom duplex. Who will live in the rest of the house? So he begins to bring nannies and all those to maintain the house. When he could bring his younger brother or his younger sister or his first cousin to maintain, stay in a part of the house and maintain the house too. So there is nothing stopping us from doing this as long as it is feasible. There is nothing stopping us from bringing in our family members as long as it is feasible. The first thing we need to do is to reorganize our mind. That is the first thing. Our mind is the first thing. Because when we desire to do it, we are zealous, we crave to do it, then it will be easy. But if our mind is a mind of rejection, it's a mind of a nuclear family, myself, my wife, and my children alone, this kind of a lifestyle that modern day education has placed in the mind of many of us, they will not be able to do it. Even if you have 10 duplexes standing side by side, you will not be able to help any member of your family with anything. And that is not good for you. May Allah protect all of us from this evil. I think it will suffice for us to stop here today. We'll continue with our class tomorrow, inshallah. May Allah protect us till then and thereafter. Subhanaka Allahumma bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. يا شيخنا جزاكم الله خيرا.